Welcome to Up the Bill of the Aussie Villains podcast. Normally we have a bit of ska, a bit of punk, maybe some hip-hop, but tonight this song is very appropriate for the Villa, because guess what? It's so, so true. As we push for Europe, this is Up the Villa, the Aussie Villains podcast.
Doing everything right. You know, he's hungry. Danny Ings has left now. He went to West Ham.
So he knows. That's a factor.
I think so, yeah. He knows he's the main man. Before it was Ings might be in, Watkins is in. Now Watkins is guaranteed to play every game. There's a younger lad we signed from the MLS, Duran. He's not going to be one that's going to threaten Ollie Watkins yet. And the players are getting used to how he plays. The tactics on the manager are perfect. And it's Aston Villa, the owners are on board. You know, they've got money. They're investing in the team. You know, you don't hear about them, Ali. You know, you hear about them when you need to. Yeah. The manager they've got, Unai Emery, top manager, used to winning Europa Leagues. Aston Villa in seventh place now. Last six games, five wins, one draw in the last six games. And just going about their business a bit, Villa, without anyone noticing. 2 weeks ago, a lot of the pundits on here were saying, Aston Villa are the only team that aren't playing for nothing this season. All of a sudden now, we're in seventh position, and Aston Villa can finish the season in European places. So, you know, Europa League conference, amazing competition, Ali. We'd love to be in it.
That's the question, really. The big question is, Gabby, can Aston Villa make it to the promised land? A bit louder, please. That really hits home, Gabby. How does that feel when we play that to you?
Sounds nice.
Does it?
I'm not used to hearing it on FIFA, my son plays, or Tuesday, Wednesday night, Sally. Didn't get to play in that competition.
Does it feel like a European competition too far?
For now, for Villa, of course. Yeah, I mean, they're only 6 points off it, but there's some tough games left for Aston Villa this season. You know, some big, big games. But if Spurs keep messing up...
But that's my point. The big games against the opposition that you need to beat to finish in the top four. You never know, man.
No, you never know. But if Aston Villa, if you offered Aston Villa fans now finishing the top seven and they're in a European competition next season, they'd bite your hand off.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to Up the Villa, the Aussie Villains podcast. We have Tess and Rhino with us.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
And we have another injury. We just keep copping injuries at the moment. And Spud's gone down with a little bit of stomach complaints, so it could be his missus. We don't want to make her feel bad, but something's thinking about that injury, I tell you. Now, before we lose any more listeners, and we generally lose them because of me, I must say that we have a special guest tonight. He is a fellow podcaster with me through the Love Sport Podcast Network. We cover NFL, we cover whatever we choose. We've been in a slight hiatus lately, but we've got John, and John is a Newcastle fan. We just thought we'd bring on someone for a bit of a different perspective and balance us out. How are we there, John?
Good evening, and thanks for having me, lads. It's an absolute pleasure to be on your podcast.
Welcome, John. Yeah.
Welcome, John.
So, John, tell us a little bit. We've been friends for a long, long, long time. You are a dye-in-the-wool, born and bred kind of Geordie, mate. Tell us about your love affair with Newcastle and what it means to you.
Well, I mightn't have the accent, but I was born in Newcastle General Hospital, right in the centre of town. And my family, all from one of the most hardcore working class parts of Newcastle, a place called Elswick.
Yep.
And I was given the love of Newcastle United, not by my dad, who, funnily enough, has always been an individualist. He's an artist and a swimmer, and he likes boxing and stuff like that. And he used to go to St. James's Park purely to sell pies and make money and that. But through my grandfather and my uncles, who are all big-time Newcastle fans. So, and I've come into Australia as a kid. I used to get sent out the like everyone, sounds a bit like Adam Peacock talking, but you get the Shoot magazines and all the rest of it sent from home. I get the Chronicle, Pink, and all that. And I had a moment where I thought, oh, I might become an Arsenal fan. I think when I was watching the cup final in 78, when I was about 8 years old. And thankfully, my dad actually said to me, he said, new lad, you couldn't do that. Like, you know, So so I'm actually, I'm very excited at the moment to actually be able to talk. Me and Paul have done, he's probably told you, we've worked together a lot in all kinds of stuff, but in radio, but like most of the time that we've been doing this, I mean, we've been rubbish, you've been rubbish. It's nice to actually have a conversation with, I think, both clubs on the rise, so I look forward to it.
And, mate, there's a faux rivalry, a really weird rivalry, kind of unnatural rivalry between Newcastle and Villa at the moment. We know, you know, people can point to different things about where that started, but does it not feel strange to you, this kind of rivalry?
I think the stuff that happened in 2008 with the sob on the tie, and it burned a lot of fans pretty hard. But like I said to you through the week, Paul, it's like it's like a ridiculous social media pile-on where people with limited capacity to engage in discussion, just except for to be just like morons, they can't talk about anything other than just, you know, vindictive sides of the discussion. One of my favourite things about football is actually being able to discuss the game properly. And as you always know, Paul, I've always said that to me there's certain clubs who are actual proper English Premier League clubs.
Yep.
And I think that we would both have at least a starting position of knowing that both of our teams are that. Yeah. And it's great to see them both going good.
So I suppose the other thing, and boys, come in with any questions you have for John as well, but it must be an unbelievable feeling to be 29 games into a season. Yes, you've got rich owners, but your journey of buying at the moment hasn't really started. It must be an amazing feeling to be, you know, at the moment in the top four, a huge game against Villa tomorrow night, obviously at Villa Park, and Newcastle will bring a huge contingent. Does it still feel surreal, 29 games in, considering where you were last year?
I think quite a lot of Newcastle fans, far from the way that we're painted about, oh, we demand this and we demand that, I actually think we're pretty patient because in my whole lifetime, my whole dad's lifetime, we've not won a trophy. So I'm pretty patient and I'm, yeah, it feels surreal. It'll actually feel surreal when we close the deal, but I will say this, I think that it's low-hanging fruit every time we beat a club and their fans and their managers lead the charge about, oh my God, you know, the money and all that. So I take a lot of heart from the fact that there's at least six people every week in our teams who are core players who were there under Ashley and Steve Bruce, and some of them, heaven forbid, Steve McLaren. And those guys are now absolute top performers. And I think I've always said to you, Paul, you know, listen, the boys, if you've ever heard me speaking on our other podcast, coaching matters. And my faith actually comes from the direction the club's heading, because I think that the guy who's actually our manager, and I know that you guys got the guy who was going to be our first choice guy, but I think we actually, to quote not to quit use Chopper's quote about, we could have landed on our knees if we had a beat you to Steve Gerrard, but we sort of landed on our feet, didn't we? And,
yeah.
And I think Eddie Howe's been a godsend for the club, and I love him. I tell you what else I like about him, and this might be controversial, I like the fact he's actually English, and he's actually good at what he does, and he's not just scraping around the nether regions.
Yeah. I guess for me, John, I think, you know, seeing Newcastle get to a cup final this year was massive. And I think most neutrals were behind Newcastle, being who you were playing. What's your feelings about that day? And obviously the result didn't go your way. But, yeah, tell us a bit about your day for the cup final.
Well, it was good. I was in a kind of, funny nether zone where I made a crazy, I didn't make crazy. I didn't watch the game, but I listened to everything as it came through, and I was in this sort of zen-like state waiting for the game. But I do know that I was very excited in the lead up. Whenever we've been to Wembley in the past, I'd spend all my chips pretty early, during that process. And when we had great players like Shearer and that, and I remember my first memory of football was the cup final in the early 70s when Newcastle and got Polex. And my nana made me a shirt. I think it was made out of horse hair. It was the itchiest jersey of all time. If you remember then, when you had, I had to sit there, I had to stick my arms out. It was like I was crucified. Down. And, but yeah, look, I think that that's all part of, and I hate to use the term the journey, but I think if we played Manchester United, they were coming into, I think, one of their few veins of form that they're going to be in for quite some time. And we were just in that little down point. We hadn't got ourselves back together after the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think if we had played, I'll tell you what, if we were playing them in the actual, in the FA Cup final in a couple of weeks' time, I know that we'd beat them. And that's how I feel about it. It was great to actually be there, though. And look, I think that the winning the League Cup means nothing to them, but losing it means more to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think for clubs like ours, getting the cup finals still means something to us, where you've got your Man City's, Man United's, Chelsea's. The League Cup, like you say, doesn't mean as much to them. But for fans like us who've sort of been starved of any silverware, it's a massive day, isn't it? And I still love the competition myself. Villa have obviously got a rich history with it. But yeah, it was lovely to see a team like Newcastle in the final.
Yeah, so from your guys...
When was the last time there was a League Cup final with that kind of gravitas for any fans, apart from just the ones in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose we've been in similar situations against teams like Manchester United and so forth. So, yeah, we definitely know where you're coming from. Mate, we do appreciate you coming on the pod. A bit of an injury concern with St. Maximum missing tomorrow night.
It's funny that, because I actually thought he was a guy who could really kick over our X factor going to the back end of the year, but we've coped well without him.
Yep.
And I feel okay about that. I'd love to see him playing, but, you know, Jacob Murphy's played well. I think that the real key for tomorrow night is going to be the manager trusting to play Joe Linton somewhere closer into the middle of the park. You know how strongly I feel about him as a player, Paul.
With Guimaraes as well.
Joe Linton.
Yeah, I think if Joe Linton gets a little bit tighter in there, and I honestly think that you guys struggle a bit going forward, I would say, and I think that our defence has been rock solid all year. So I'm not worried about our defence. I think our midfield's very, very good. I hope that I'd actually like to see us go there and not press as high as we normally do. I think both teams have got a similar attacking philosophy. And, yeah, I'm just going to – I know I'm on your podcast and respect the hell out of Paul and you guys, but I have to look and I look at our midfield and I just think, oh, my God, I actually think that we could go on for a couple of years with the exact same midfield and just manipulate the forward and the back.
One thing
I really believe in them.
I wanted to just bring up with you there, John. Newcastle are a club with like a massive fan base. Like the fan base is unbelievable and the noise that they make. And I'm actually really delighted, and I'm only going to say this once, I'm really delighted that Newcastle are actually got a manager who can coach players and get the best out of players, and it's a bit similar to what Villa have got at the moment. But it's really nice to hear the supporters happy since Mike Ashley sold the club. I mean, good riddance to him, because Newcastle's one of those clubs, like, you know, when you watch the Sunday afternoon football match, you could hear the Newcastle fans over everybody. And for so many years, Newcastle supporters were just left disappointed because your owner wasn't spending the money that the club deserved and it wasn't bringing in the right kind of coaches or managers for the club. And the investment was pretty poor. How do you feel now that you've got the new owners? But what you do have now is a decent coach who did really well at Bournemouth for a long time. How do you feel now about your club, knowing that you've got a decent manager who can coach players and get the best out of them, and an ownership who are not going out and spending, £300 million on a few players just to try and buy their way through. They're actually being constructive and methodical in the way that they're signing players.
It's a really funny question because I had a bit of a laugh with Paul. Was it this morning, Paul? I was out for a walk and I think I was, I'm looking at the fan forum lead up between our two clubs, and I think every time, I think there's a Sunderland fan who jumps in every fan forum and says that we should all hang our heads in shame about the ownership and all that. And I said to Paul this morning, I said, well, he's wearing a Villa outfit today. I said, well, you know what? I tell you what, he's convinced me that I should be the only person in the history of world football to say, well, I'm not following my club anymore because I'm not sure where the owners live. So it's like, yeah, I actually think that the ownership's done a great job because they haven't come in spending wildly. I think they've been shown everything they've done is very smart. And Eddie Howe's a reflection of that. If you remember when Bruno Guimarães came to the club, he was a big money transfer, but Man United make bigger transfers than that all the time. With Anthony, it was 40 million. It was like chicken feed compared to other places. Mm. And he sat out for weeks and weeks on end. Botman comes in. He had to sit in the sideline for quite a while. And Anthony Gordon comes in, and he's not gone straight to the team. I actually like the fact that the manager knows enough about himself and believes enough in his team that no matter who comes in, they have to be part of what we're doing. And it's kind of in this craziest possible way. It kind of reminds me of a bit of way Wayne Bennett is with Redcliffe at the moment. It's like, you are here because not to be, we're not here for you, you're here for us.
Hmm.
And I think that's great at any football club. It's what you've got to have.
Well, John, we really do appreciate you coming on and giving a really nuanced and balanced view of Newcastle, which I knew you would. So, wreck our podcast and give your score prediction for tomorrow night.
It's such a huge and pivotal game, and we've been on a great run of form.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just fancy our midfield, and I don't see that. This is going to sound, you guys have been getting good results. And I think it's been against teams in the other half of the league.
Chelsea, for sure. Yep, I agree.
Well, they are in the other half of the league.
No, I know. That's what I had to say it. I've been waiting to say it all season, mate.
And long may it continue because, Dad said, I mean, when we talk about... I'm not going to say we're not here to talk about them, but I actually think that it's at Villa Park. You've got to respect the home ground. You've got to respect your manager, the setup, and all that. I'm going to go with a 2-1 to us because I have to because our form's been good. Your form's been good. This is a pivotal game for us. I think if we do beat you guys, I'm pretty much certain we're going to finish third.
Well, you've won the last five. You've won the last five, and Villa unbeaten in the last. In five, I think we had a draw and then four wins on the bounce. So both teams are in really, really good form at the moment.
The form is good. The form is very good from both teams. I think that our form has been, and I actually think that we've been in form for about 18 months, since 14 months. If you go back to the turnover of the calendar year last year, I think that we've been like literally the form team in Europe. And I don't say that out of turn. I mean, it's true. The only time we've really been turned over was by Liverpool, and that was a joke. So I actually think the biggest problem for other teams isn't us in attack. It's scoring against us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your defense has been really, really good. You know, Shah and Botman. And then you had the, what's his name? Burns playing that left back, the tall bloke. He's been really solid too.
Yeah, Burn, yeah, for sure.
Well, I think you might find that Target's going to get some time this week because Dan didn't have his best game last week. He looks tired to me.
Mm.
And I think it's a great time to bring Matt Target back into the team.
I don't think Target's going to want to be on Villa Park, mate. I do not think he's going to want to be on the ground.
He might get a hamstring injury or something.
Yeah, he might.
Well, he might, but he also has to prove himself in the current setup. And to be fair to him, you know, like you had a manager that didn't believe in him when he left. So,
yeah,
and it is your podcast, so I'm not going to. But I'd love to see Matt Target walk out there, puff his chest out, and say, "Let's bring it on, boys. Let's go." That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to see Marino skip straight past him, put the ball into the box. What can score the winner? And Target hacks his head in shame.
Well, I bet you will be. You better hope for some strong dreams tonight, Paul. Anyway, fellas, thanks for having me on. And I'm
thanks,
sure that you've got lots to speak thanks, about. All the best and take
good luck
care
for the rest
and enjoy
of the season,
match.
Except tomorrow night, mate.
How can we find you on social? Can we find you on social media, John?
Paul can tell you all about that.
Yes, Paul. John. John, not a strong social media presence. He likes being there, but you can get him at Lambic Peach on Twitter, at Lambic Peach. It may have something to do with the Green Bay Packers, who knows? But he's a big cheesehead.
Lambic Peach is a traditional Belgian, the oldest brewing style traditionally still done in Belgium. And I'm waiting for some money because I've had that handle for years.
You have to. Well, mate, I won't say good luck for tomorrow night, but good luck for the rest of the season. And yeah, we really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
100%. And I totally think the same thing for you guys. And I hope you can push on. And if you finish fourth and we finish third, I'll be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Sweet. Yeah. Thank you,
thanks,
mate.
John.
Thanks, take John. Care.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Well, that was something a bit different for the pod. He is a really good sports analyst of a lot of different sports. He is... an absolute Geordie through and through. And, you know, as I said, we don't wish him any luck tomorrow night, but good luck for the rest of the season. Boys, I actually think we can find Newcastle out tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a really tough game. I do believe we don't have a spud on tonight, so we won't get the technical analysis that we normally do. Yeah. But they're going to be strong on the ball. And I think... The one thing that does worry me a tiny bit is that with our possession game, with the way we're playing out at the back, if we're not careful, they're the kind of team who's going to knock us potentially off the ball or capitalise on mistakes. So not sure about your thoughts there, guys, whether we have the manager who may even change it up a little bit tomorrow night.
Yeah, my biggest worry is, like John touched on, is their midfield, but also from our point of view is the amount of games we've played and a bit of fatigue setting in into our squad, because, you know, we haven't rotated a lot because we haven't got a lot of bodies there. But I think, again, if Bailey's fit, he might go same again as the Forest game. I just think at some point that's gonna hurt us. So, yeah, who knows? They're in great form, Newcastle, but I think we can hurt them and beat them at home, and we've just got to keep doing what we're doing, is play that possession game, draw them out and just keep playing. We're in great form as well, so yeah, huge game.
I think we need to frustrate them. I just feel like it's a game where it's going to be, both teams will know that each other are in really good form, confidence is high amongst both teams. Villa have been really strong in the last seven games unbeaten, something like that, unbeaten. And we've got real confidence about us at the moment. It's just Newcastle have quite a strong physical team as well, especially in the sort of midfield area. And we know that players like Callum Wilson have been able to give, you know, players like Tyrone Mings a hard time in the past and all this sort of stuff. But that was under a different kind of regime. I think the players we'd be working to make sure that we are in control of the game at Villa Park. I think that's what Emery will be going for. And he will be saying to the players that this isn't one of those where you get drawn into one of those sort of dogfights or basketball games, however you like to describe it. It's something that we just need to control from our point of view and let them come and try to do something different against us. We've got to play the way that we've been playing. And I think it's going to be one of those games that's either going to be an epic cracker or it's going to be one of those chess games, to be honest.
Personally, and Rhino, you come in here, I actually think we might play the first half almost as an away game in terms of keeping that possession, keeping them out of the game. And then hopefully we're coming towards the halt end in the second half and the game style completely changes. I don't think that would be an unrealistic expectation. And if the fans got on the boys in the first half and it's nil all, I think it'd be ridiculous. I think it's game I just think it's game management. I think we'll treat it almost as an away game for the first half.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how the starting lineup looks. And, you know, in our WhatsApp chat, Spud has been sort of putting his tactical analysis and thoughts in. And he's sort of thinking that Dendonka might come in to sit with Louise and push McGinn further forward to give us a bit more strength and physicality. And it's probably a really good shout against that Newcastle midfield. But I agree with you, Paul. I think the first half will be tight, cagey affair. But I do think Buendia could be the man to unlock Newcastle. His movement behind Watkins and then Watkins' penetrating runs will be key for us, as they have been all season. But I think Buendia can really pull that Newcastle back four out of shape. And I think once he starts drawing them out, I think Watkins will find a bit of space back there. I don't think, you know, I think Watkins is in such good form. No one really wants to play against him at the moment.
I actually think, I still think the key will be Marino. I think he's the kind of player that if they do, and I doubt they'll have Target on the field, but if they put Target on, Marino will rip him apart. He's good at positioning. He's not good if someone gets past him. And so, you know, if for that reason, I'm actually hoping Target does play.
He'll play on the opposite side.
But I think we'll target. I think, for lack of a better term, I think we'll target him.
I think... if Bailey's fit, this will be one where they, you know, Emery will be saying if Target plays, then you've got to attack him at every single moment because you're going to beat him for pace every single time. It's just then we just have to worry about who they have on their side attacking Ashley Young, because I think we'll probably need to double up if someone like St. Maximum's there. Is he injured or something?
No, he won't be playing. I believe he's got another hamstring tear. I could be wrong, but that's what I read.
Yeah. So, look, there's so many good players that are going to be on that pitch who are in great form at the moment. It's really, really difficult to kind of shout and see what I would, for me, I would say that, you know, we want to try and just play our game and keep his possession as much as possible. Hope that Kamara's back, because that might make a difference in terms of our build up and everything. And we'll need Dougie to be on form. Jacob Ramsey, I feel, is going to score in this game. I don't know what's top. It's my dream yesterday. I had a dream yesterday while I was not sober that Villa won this game 3-0 at Villa Park, and Ramsey was one of the scorers, but I can't remember who the other two were.
Okay, look, guys, what we might do, just before we get into our lineups, you can only wear one pair of kicks. Now, we're not talking football boots. We're all kind of past that at the moment. You can only wear one brand of kicks to go and support your football team in for the rest of your life. What brand do you go and why?
I'll kick us off, fellas. Yeah, I'm going to go a pair of Reeboks to match my favourite Villa shirt, the 1996 home shirt, which was obviously made by Reebok and AST Computers on the front. So, yes. Yeah.
Reebok owned by Adidas now, I believe, or is that Diadora? Reebok's owned by one of them. And Reebok have brought out their iconic 1991-92. I'm a bit of a kicks man, if you didn't know. They've brought out their iconic 1991-92 pumps.
Oh,
wow.
The first pair of basketball boots that that were fashionable that my mum ever bought me. And I'll never forget that. Thank you, Mum. Appreciate it. My brother got the Jordan 2s and I got the Reebok pumps. And I don't regret it to this day. I love those shoes. For me, it's got to be Adidas. I just think they're such a great casual shoe. They have a really good color range. And I'd go probably even further. I'd go the Cortez or the Aztecs.
Oh, nice. The Cortez were nice.
Really nice.
Could even go the Mexicos if you can get the Villa colors. Yeah, the Villa colors are hard to find. You have to, they almost become ones that you need to buy two pairs and keep one away.
I went with the Reebok Classics.
Nice.
And do you know why? Because you said, like, if you had to do it throughout the season. And I was thinking, well, like, I used to love the, like, do you remember the Nike Air Huaraches? I used to love those.
Yes.
And I used to love the, like, Air Max. Back in the day, like, if you're not old enough, you won't remember the Max 3s. Well, they were, like, the Nike with the air bubble, and they had the orange around the air bubble and stuff. Like, I love those shoes. But then I thought, you know, if I'm going to watch Villa or I'm going to watch a match throughout the whole year, Reebok classics. You know, you've got that tan undertone, the white leather, and the white leather bit will keep your feet warm even during the winter bit. And then they're just comfortable, like when you're walking up and down the stairs, walking around the streets, even in the snow, those tan bottoms, and they just, you can wear them with literally anything and they look good. So I went with Reebok Classics.
Yeah, okay, okay. Well, I'm going to let you boys off. I'm going to let you boys off. I just have to go the out of that set iconic, you know, the three stripes. Remember wearing the silk tracksuit in the 80s?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I'm still even wearing my Converse socks outside, my Adidas socks outside the tracksuit pants. That's how old I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes, yes. I like that. I like that. We've had a little bit of a different pod. So why don't we look at our squads or our lineups? We'll do what we normally do, and we'll start with the backline boys. So we obviously know there's no way on God's earth that we're going to have a different keeper keeping for us tomorrow night.
He's amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
I sent you guys some footage the other day from this season, from all of our wins and stuff, and he's made some unbelievable saves, Martinez.
I also think that just how much publicity and how much he does for the club in terms of how much he pumps us up, I just think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think we could ask for anything more. You know, what, 15 million?
I mean, yeah 15 million. He wears his heart on his sleeve as well, and that's what I like about him. Like, he's kind of gives it his all, and when it was in doubt whether, you know, he's won the World Cup and whether he's, you know, going to jump ship at the earliest opportunity, didn't do that, came out actually against it, and so did his agent and manager and all that kind of stuff. And he's still saying that he would like to win something or get to Europe with Villa. And at the moment, in the way that we're performing, we're in the competition to do that. So, yeah. Anyway, Martinez starts, obviously.
Yeah.
What about our Konsa and Mings? I can't believe that any of us would change either of those two at this point.
No, but staying with those two. Definitely.
Same, but they've done a fantastic job. How many clean sheets in a row?
Good question.
We've had, in five clean sheets, we might have kept four or something, or three. I can't remember.
Three clean sheets out of our last five games, and that's still an amazing effort.
Great. Yeah. Arguably the best pair in the league at the moment for me as well, the way they're playing. Just rock solid, and both playing with the ball at feet and looking real comfortable at the minute. Big test tomorrow against Newcastle, though. Yeah. Really big test.
Is Konsa ever I'm Australian, so I don't really give a crap. Is Konsa ever a shout for England? I'm 25 years of age.
He should be. Without doubt, he should be. Under Gerrard, there was no chance. His performances were poor. Beginning of the season, his performances weren't there, you know. And I think last, even under Dean Smith, he was close, but not quite there. But at that time, you had all the John Stones and Harry Maguire, and all these centre backs were actually performing quite well at that time. But I think
it'd be a most remarkable turnaround to see someone who was really losing a bit of confidence, and obviously supporters had lost confidence in him. Mm-hmm. And this is a really good age for a centre back or a centre half to actually start coming through. He's only 25, almost 26, I think.
Not many people dribble past him.
No. Well, the stats are saying, you know, he's in the top three or four of not getting passed in the whole comp. So what about, we agree Marino, do we?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
I think you're both.
What a job he's done.
Just on that one with Alex Marino, I think that's going to be a really interesting battle because they've got Kieran Trippier playing at right back. So there's two very attack-minded forward playing fullbacks there. So there's going to be a really big battle on that side of the field. And I think that's good. Like, I think Tess touched on it that. Oh, sorry, Paul, you touched on it, saying Marino is going to be key to us. And likewise for Newcastle, I think Trippier will be to them.
Good footballers both. And it's such an exciting thing. I think John touched on it earlier. To see both of these really traditional, strongly supported clubs up and about, this is just a match that for the last few years, besides Villa and Newcastle supporters, I think there'll be so many people from clubs around us who will be going one way or the other, going, oh, if Villa win, then we can catch Newcastle. But if Newcastle win, Villa's out of contention. Mm. We haven't had a game like this forever, have we, where we're right in people's kind of mindset.
Mm.
I think you guys are going to put Young in. I don't think he's going to start.
Who's going to start? I've said.
Well, I know this might sound a bit weird, and you guys are talking about pushing them up in the middle, but I kind of wouldn't mind. I know you're not going to like this one. I kind of wouldn't mind Dendonka out there with the ability. No. I'm just saying. we always speculate. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it is a Chambers or a Dendonka. I just think Young might need a rest. He's been playing great. I think you guys are going to go with Young.
Yeah, I would go with Young. But again, like I've already touched on, I do think fatigue's starting to set in, and especially with Young being his age. So yeah, Paul, I agree. I would not be surprised to see a little change there with Chambers, but I'm going to go with Young.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Young.
Okay, I'll let you guys start off with your midfields there. I don't think we're going to see too many surprises here between the three of us.
What's the latest with Kamara, fellas? Is there any news? Because I've sort of been, you know,
press has been yet.
Yeah, okay. There's no news at the moment. Because that obviously, if Kamara's fit, which that would be, I'd bring him in. But if he's not fit, I'd go with the same midfielders against Forrest and sit McGinn next to Louise and then have
Ronzi. My understanding is even if he was fit, he wouldn't be ready. When we say fit, we're talking about being injury free. I still think he's, from what I've read, he's still a couple weeks off.
Yep. I'm going the same then, fellas. I'm sticking with the same that went against Forest.
So we're going Buendia.
McGinn, Louise, Ramsey, Buendia.
Yep. I'm going to agree there. Up front, we know Watkins is going to play. I think both of you are still steering towards... I think you're both steering towards a certain guy that's lost all support for me.
If he's fit enough to play, he will start. My preference, though, I wouldn't want to start him.
I want Birdie Beetle in. Three goals
I would like to see Bertie start. I would like to see Traore start. Two goals in two games, on fire. He has that ability to do something magical. He doesn't have the pace that Bailey may have, but what he does have is the trickery, and he always tends to come in with some really important goals. I think if he starts, it gives us a good platform to kind of play in the style that we want. But if Bailey is fit, he could come on and be that impact against tired defenders in later on in the game, especially in those wide positions against Target.
I'm going to put Birdie in my starting lineup with Bailey coming on at about the 70th minute mark, maybe the 75th.
But if he doesn't, I mean, if Bailey's not fit, then we start with Traore, right? So,
well, I'm not sure. I think if Bailey isn't fit, I think you might see Dendonka come in, and then he might push Buendia further forward and McGinn a bit further forward. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen, because Dendonka's starting to get, you know, he had a couple of, you know, 15, 20 minutes in the last game, so he's eased him back in. So I don't know. I just don't know if he'll start Birdie yet. But
I just think that you've got to reward someone who has not only scored a couple of goals in his last couple of games, but the support from the teammates has been unbelievable. I just see that being, you know, I just see that being the catalyst of, you know, I think you'll start. That's just my opinion.
It's a really good form, and I'll tell you what, that goal that he scored in the first game that he came, I mean, the supporters went absolutely nuts. And, you know, you've got players that have been playing in that position all season and they're not singing names. And then Bertie comes in, you know, come back from the dead where Gerrard got rid of him, and he's scored 2-2. The fans are loving him at the moment. His confidence levels must be through the roof. And you can see how the players were reacting around him. He's good in the dressing room, apparently. He's a good character. And, you know, he deserves a shot. He's come back from injury. He's fit. He's playing, he's scoring, he deserves a shot. And that's the reason why I would put him, in.
I don't think he's quite there fitness-wise, but I think his impact has obviously been unreal for us, getting two goals in two games. I do think that Newcastle midfield will be on Emery's mind, and I think he'll try and keep it compact in there, and he'll try and get on top of Guimaraes, and I think he'll I think you might see Den Donker go in there, but you can't begrudge Bertie a starting burst with the form he's been in. So, yeah, he's definitely deserving.
Do you don't think that Chambers would get in ahead of Den Donker?
No, I think Den Donker goes in purely because of against Leicester. I think you saw Emery put Den Donker into that midfield role. I think it's more natural for Den Donker to sit in there. That's his, you know, his favourite position, whereas Chambers, I think, is obviously more, you know, defensive and a centre-back. So I think he'd go Den Donker myself.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Look, I think, you know, trust, as we said, trust in the gaffer. He, you know, will get surprised with some format, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a look on Twitter at a couple. We didn't put up a post very early on for people to be able to ask questions at this point in time, but we did get a couple. So let's just go and have a look at what we got, boys. Just be a second. This is podcasting at its very best right now, guys.
I reckon Watkins scores again in this match.
We'll come to that. Hold it.
I don't want to jump ahead.
So from the Villa News, and thank you for following us, the Villa News. We are also following you, so we do appreciate it. Emery claims he changes tactics based on the opponent. What tricks will he have up his sleeve against the Toon? Well, I might start because mine's really simple. It's the one I spoke about earlier. I think it'll be a game of two halves. I think he will be telling the boys, we're treating this not so much as an away game, but we're going to hold the possession. And the second half, it's going to be pace, pace, pace. And I think that will be the biggest thing. We don't have a big enough squad to be able to do wide-ranging changes. So I just think it'll be the actual pace and game style that he'll change.
Mm. I think he's going to actually try to nullify their most important players and try and play in a way where they have to go and fight to be involved in the game. So, for example, I feel like they'll try to play in a way that will nullify the Trippier being able to get too far forward and putting those balls and crosses in. I mean, if he takes corners, he can't really stop too much there. But if he's coming forward, you want to kind of nullify him doing that to get those crosses in quite early. And if you can do that, or if he comes too far forward, then as soon as you win the ball back, the transition will be to counter-attack his side. Also trying to keep Bruno Guimarães out of the game, because he seems to be that key player in the middle who's stringing things together at the moment for them and has been really, really good at doing it. I think when he wasn't playing and was injured, Newcastle weren't doing as well as they have been. But now that he's back, he seems to be doing that job again. So I think the idea will, in my opinion, will be that we're going to try to nullify their most important players to stop them from being able to play against us the way that they want. And that will be Trippier and Guimarães for me.
Mm. Yep. I tend to agree with you there, fellas. I think the wide areas is where we're going to have our joy going forward. I think the Mourinho-Buendia combination and try and pin Trippier in, make him defend, will be key to us on that left-hand side. But I also think the other side of the field, I think Jacob Ramsey's pace, drive and ability to carry that ball against Dan Byrne or Matt Target will be massive as well. And that's an area where I think if Bailey plays Ramsey and Bailey on that side, the pace and the power would be a really good outlet for us.
And that, look, this goes on, and we probably won't answer this too much more because we kind of have, but he's called it Unite in a little toy shop. Smithy 1874, one of our long-term listeners, one of our faves. He's gone, this one's going to be a cracker and the game should be too. Uh-huh. Anyway, where is this game won and lost? Midfield battle versus Guimarães, Joan Litton and Longstaff, or attack versus defence? And I think we've touched on that one, Smithy, throughout this pod. And I think it's going to be that balance of when to go. And that's what the really, really good teams do. And I think that's the track that we're on to be one of those very, very good teams. Did you guys want to... just a bit further on this one as well. He also asked us if we'd heard or seen the YouTube podcast with Alan Hutton. And, you know, I did personally. I thought it was an absolute ripper, and they're going to do a lot more of those as well.
So I haven't seen. Yeah, I know who Claret and Blue podcast, was it?
Yep.
So might as well worth mentioning that they've got that interview with Alan Hutton. You know what? Something Alan Hutton was at the club for a while, right? And I was baffled as to why he was sent out on loan when he was arguably probably one of the better defenders in our team. And I haven't watched it, so I don't know. Maybe he explains all that. But when he did come back, I felt like he was given everything for Villa. And the fans just loved him. And I loved watching him play for Villa. His heart was on his sleeve and a really decent bloke. Fought for the club and never has a bad word to say about the club. I've heard him on TalkSport and a few other outlets and stuff. And I think he really embraced Villa as a club. So, yeah, I'd be really interested. I haven't watched it yet or listened to it.
Yeah, please do. I think I can't imagine you're not going to enjoy it. It's really well done. Some nice questions. And they give him a chance to actually talk, which is lovely as well. Now, I did have up on this post, don't target ex-villains as a bit of a joke. and we had World nice. Football Chat, Billy Wiz, say, Dean has got into challenge for the left-back position. Targets quicker than the Titanic went down. Why should us Villa supporters not give him stick? I'm not saying not to give him stick. I'm actually just making a bit of a shit stir there of words there, Billy Wiz. Look, if he's on the pitch, we're in a big chance to win. I'm not even sure he'll get on the ground.
Yeah, you will. I think depends on Dan Byrne. Like John was saying, if he's fit, I think Dan Byrne plays for them. I think he's been a big part of their form of late. But I do think again we can get at him on that side of the field with the players we've got. I don't think Byrne or Target particularly like pacey wingers going at them. And I think in Ramsey and Bailey, if he's fit, I think we've got the two perfect players to exploit that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, another good question here as well. Ian Orman 5 says, what do you think to having special sections for singing, chanting fans at Villa Park? To try to get a critical mass of supporters to start continue chants in other parts of the ground, not just the upper hole. Big problem for me all around the world, this is. You have what we call active support areas, the Holt end being known as the home end. I believe personally from watching football all around the world, there is a disconnect. I think there is a disconnect in most grounds around the world, except for a lot of South American grounds, where they don't necessarily have a home end. Germany does this very well as well, where almost the whole stadium is the home end.
Yeah, yes. they have sections. So I don't know, small sections, like Villa Park's got that small section for the away supporters down the bottom there. Right in the corner. It's a tough one because in football, in my life, you know, you associate the whole end as that 12th man, really. You know, that space where the loudest Villa supporters will be singing the whole way through or chanting the whole way through the match. Whereas when I've been to Villa Park before and I've sat in the Trinity side, it's more kind of still supporting the team and still making noise and applauding when necessary, or you know, you get the sides where necessary, but a different type of supporter. Not to say that they're less of a supporter or more of a supporter, it's just that they're different. They're just a little bit more reserved and they go to watch the game. They might be with their families or their young kids or whatever it is, and it's not so rowdy. Whereas, you know that when teams are going shooting against the whole, there's that sort of hostility, you know, it's the fans get right on top of the opposition and make it really uncomfortable for them. And it's difficult to do that when you're on the side stands, in my opinion. I don't think there should be sections of each stand who are the singing side. I like the tradition of having a particular stand, which is the, you know, like the whole end, for example.
Yeah. What about yourself there, Rhino?
Yeah, I'm the same as Tess. I quite like the current setup. It is hard with, like you say, the wide range of fans, you know, in the stadiums, age, and, you know, so you're not going to have every section being as loud as the Holt end. But I really think ends like the Holt end are special in football, and the Kop at Liverpool, you know, they're iconic. And I really like that tradition. I love traditional football grounds like Villa Park, Anfield, you know, St. James's Park, proper football stadiums. I think the newer stadiums, Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, you know, they're known for their poor atmosphere. So I think it's more important to keep the traditional stadiums alive more than anything. I think, I'd hate to see Villa Park, you know, and I think it'll happen in the future, possibly get a new ground, but I really love the old football grounds, and I think that's the big part of the atmospheres for me.
Arsenal used to have the North Stand, didn't they? The North Stand or whatever it is. And it was just, you know, you didn't want to go there and play against that side, you know. Like,
yeah.
They were right on top of you in that small stadium, and they just wanted to, like, and it was intimidating. And that's part of the reason why I like that sort of having that one stand, which is just that beacon.
I think as music becomes more of a part and entertainment becomes more of a part of sport, whether it is football or basketball or whatever, it's getting harder to, it feels more manufactured. Support at a ground has to be organic. And there are times when Villa Park is as loud as anywhere, but it is, to me, it is a problem at Villa Park at the moment that it does seem for big parts of a game, it can almost be silent at times. You've been there most recently, Rhino.
The atmosphere was great at the Arsenal game. And it does come down to form, doesn't it, and how the team's playing. Yes. And of late, the form's been really good. So everyone's up and, you know, enthusiastic and getting involved. And the Arsenal game was obviously a sellout, which helps as well. And, you know, we were obviously scored a couple of goals and got in front, and everyone was, you know, I thought the atmosphere was really good that day, to be honest with you, apart from injury time where we conceded 2 to lose it. Then it was very flat. But during the game, it was great.
Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't have to be a Villa podcast. This could be any podcast in the world, and this same conversation would be happening about how to increase. But the world is changing, and people's attention spans, and also, you know, as you said, we're a massive family club. We're a club where you see so many kids going to Villa Park with their parents and grandparents. Mm. And that changes also that hostility as well. And long term, that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
So, guys, it's been a bloody... I've really enjoyed this podcast. It's gone bloody... but let's go down to it. And Ryan, I'll start with you, mate. Your score predictions.
I'm going to go 2-1 to the Villa, fellas. I'm going to go Watkins to score. And Jacob Ramsey to get on the score sheet because of Tess's dream. So I'm going to stick with that.
Thank you. You know, have you got that alarm thing?
I feel bad.
So, yeah, it's going to be such a tough game. It's going to be, but I'm hoping for a cracker. And in all honesty, I'd love to see quite a lot of goals in the game and us to score more. But I'm going to go reserved on this one, and I think it's a draw. I think this game is a draw, and I think it's a score draw. And I think Ramsey will score, and I think Callum Wilson will score for them if he's fit to play. I think it's a 1-1. I know, sorry, I just dampened the whole mood, didn't I? I'm definitely not going to be invited to the whole end. Yes!
Oh, that was a different one, but that was for you, Tess. I've been umming and ahhing myself and had the thoughts that there'd be a draw, but I also came to the conclusion that there would be a 2-1. Now, there is no way on God's earth I'm allowed to give a 2-1 scoreline and not give some kind of muck around, okay?
Yeah. So,
hang on a second. Let me just get ready for this because I've been waiting for this.
Here we go. I've stretched out. It's going to be Buendia and Luiz who score for us. And you're not going to like this one. The goal for Newcastle? Martinez own goal.
Oh, no.
Goodness me.
I thought you were going to say Matt Target then, Paul.
No, God, no. So what happens with this one? Martinez saves brilliantly. It comes back off him, hits the crossbar, and comes off Martinez's left butt cheek. And Newcastle come at us for 4 minutes of injury time, and we are literally back to the wall. We do not know how we keep some of the shots out, but we win 2-1. We actually score all three goals.
Yeah, who scores for us? Sorry?
Buendia and Luiz.
Luiz. How does Buendia score?
Now, Buendia, he actually scuffs his shot The keeper goes the wrong way and it dribbles in with three defenders going back for the ball, sliding for it, and it's just gone over. The referee looks at his watch. Yep, it certainly is a goal. The goal line technology says it's a goal, and that gives us our lead.
And then,
I don't know where I get these from, guys. I do not write them down before.
Hang on. And Dougie's goal, sorry?
Oh, Dougie's is from a corner.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, it's from a corner. Standard goal. Everyone misses it. Keeper flaps at it, and in it goes.
Sick. Is Pope injured? Is their keeper injured, or did he get sent off? He didn't get sent off. Was he injured or something?
I thought he was. I'd have to double check that. I mean, I should do a lot more of my study on this and go and look at the other teams. But no. Nick Pope looks like he's fine.
Do you know what? This will be a good one, though. It'll be a good one to go into where you haven't looked too much into it. You can go and just when it's on at 9:30 our time. It will be a great just to go and watch the game and see what happens. Hey, I'm really looking forward to this. And because of Newcastle's form and our form, it's just going to be a great kind of test to see where we really are against a team that's in the top four.
Yeah. I'd be interested to speak to neutrals about it, that it's a 9:30 game with actually a lot on the line for both clubs. And it's not Manchester and Liverpool, or it's not Man City and Liverpool. It's got to be a bit of an interesting game for neutrals, I think, just to see something different.
Yeah.
Two of the form teams as well at the moment. So I think a lot of people will enjoy just having the 9:30 early kickoff and hopefully it's a good game.
We put a lot of pressure on the teams that are just below us as well, I think. I think it's heaps of pressure on teams like Brighton and Liverpool.
Would you be happy with a draw?
Against Newcastle? I would, yeah.
Yeah, I'd take a draw, to be honest with you.
I think it's going to come down to how we play. If we play well, they play well, and it's a goal draw, I don't think I'd be unhappy with it. But, looking at that, for the first time in the longest time, it's one of those games that we win, and you really start to believe. It's a bit of a Ted Lasso moment.
Yeah, I'm not quite up to date on Ted Lasso. I'm up to date on the episodes I've got. There should be another one out on Monday, I think. I'm just looking at the table
Wednesdays,
here mate, now.
They're Wednesdays. Believe me, my Wednesdays are all built around Ted Lasso.
Is it Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm looking at the table now and, three points against Newcastle and we're pulling in really close to Spurs, who are having an indifferent season, in my opinion.
I'm starting to get Viagra feels.
Spurs are just Spursy. There's a reason why, and they are. They just you watch them and they've got a couple of moments of magic. I mean, Kane scores goals and stuff, but they are very Spursy at the moment. Also, just one more thing. Sorry to keep going on. It's so nice to look at this table and see that we're not in negative goal difference.
Yeah. Plus one. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it all season. It's like we've had -8 and -9, all this sort of stuff. And it's just nice to see that we're in the plus. Look at Brighton, they scored 15 goals more than us sort of thing. And they're a point behind us. So what we've been doing, what Emery's been doing with this team is nothing but, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But, I think surely top 10 is easy now. Well, I mean, it must be, right? Or am I going too far?
Top 10, we're locking in, mate. I'm not going to stress about a top 10 finish. We're finishing top 10.
Well, so what are the European places, though? So
top 7.
Top. Oh, okay.
Right, depending on a couple results, we finish 7th, then Europa Conference League is almost a certainty.
Okay. Because of Man United and Man City both still in the FA Cup hunt, does that open up, if one of those wins the FA Cup, does that open up another European spot?
We'll have to double check that.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain we're looking at realistically 7th securing a European spot.
Mm.
Top 4, obviously, Champions League. You're looking at Europa League and then Europa Conference League. So I think I'm pretty sure it's going to be 7 spots, guys.
Go on, Ryan.
So I just say the fixtures we've got towards the end of the season as well are massive. We've got Brentford, Fulham, Man United, Brighton to play. We've got all the teams in and around us, Tottenham to play.
Yeah, so it's playing the teams, and I have put in about a minute and a half of a bit of media with Gabby, actually talking a bit of sense for once, and the challenge of taking those teams on around us.
Yeah. I mean,
if we're going to make it, we're going to hurt those teams around us. I'd rather us actually playing those teams than not, because the win we get is taking points not only away from them, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be taking on those teams around us than letting fate be in other people's hands.
Well, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, like, teams like Fulham, you know what, they haven't won a game in the last five, Fulham, and they don't have Mitrovic, do they? And no. So they're struggling to score goals now. I mean, they've got one or two decent players, but they're struggling to score goals now that Mitrovic isn't there and the type of game that he plays. And their striker, I think it's Vinicius or someone, like, I don't know what his name is.
Let's just get past Newcastle. We're thinking too far ahead, boys. We are thinking too far ahead.
No, but we're looking good. And I think, you know, if we can put a decent performance against Newcastle, the boys will be up for any of the teams that we've got to face in and around us, for sure.
In all honesty, I think the big thing for me, guys, and yes, Liverpool have a game in hand at the moment. I think the big thing for me is that for so many months, we were, or at least weeks, we were just behind Chelsea and couldn't get past them, right? It's like a race, any kind of horse race. The two horses are fighting, but once that one horse gets past, they generally go on. And we're now 8 points clear of Chelsea after 30 games. That is unbelievable.
I don't know how. So I know it's not a Chelsea podcast. I don't know how that bloke got the job, but good. I'm glad they appointed that bloke because he's useless. I don't think Lampard's a good manager at all. I don't think he's going to do anything for Chelsea. In fact, they're in trouble the way that they're playing with it. And with him there, I don't think they're going to get any better.
But don't you think it's just, like, honestly, it reminds you of a horse race. You know, we were just struggling to get Chelsea. We put our head in front and just went, see you later, within a few weeks.
I wonder how many weeks, though, did we spend in, like, 11th place? It felt like we were there forever. Like,
yeah, well, there was a long time.
There was international breaks and stuff as well, so it felt even longer.
Oh, and we were just playing really good football, and we're just stuck in this place. And how, playing all those games, how are we not getting past this 11th place, hey?
Okay, guys, I do have another question for you before we finish off the pod. I think I gave this one to you earlier.
Yeah.
Any stadium in the world that you can go and visit? Any stadium in the world that you could go and visit, where would you go? It's a tough one, I know.
I've got one, so I don't mind kicking this one off. I've gone the Estadio Mas Monumental, which is River Plate's home ground in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And I'd go there for the Super Classico River Plate v Boca Juniors.
No, I'm
not going to believe this. I was actually going to say Boca's stadium. The same thing, though.
Brilliant.
I'm not joking. I mean, I know that it's an old stadium. I know that it's run down. But it, from everyone who's ever been there, and they say that it actually does rock. And if you've seen any of the kind of Boca videos or anything like that, I would love to be there.
The atmosphere would be amazing.
Yeah, just the atmosphere for that type of game. You'd be on edge all game, but you would never forget it, that's for sure.
So it's the Estadio Alberto G. Armando. So that's where I'd want to be. And I just can't believe we had the same thought. I would love to see them playing River Plate there.
Yeah, brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah. Great minds, eh?
All mines. I'll just go mines.
I guess quite conservative then. I don't know why, but I've always wanted to go to. I mean, I've driven past and I've seen the stadium and stuff, but I'd like to go there for a match, and that would be the Bayern Munich stadium.
Yeah. Allianz Arena.
Yeah, I mean, I've driven past there.
Sorry, mate. Been there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about it. I've seen, you know, watch games and stuff, but I would just like to be there for one of those, you know, top games, that top two clash or something like that. I think that would be amazing.
It would be amazing. I think that the I'm going to do a test here and follow up there as well. The other stadium that I would love to go to is where Borussia Dortmund play.
Yeah,
they just have their pre-game setups with their banners and everything like that. It's just absolutely outstanding. I just think that would be that would be. Can I say, am I going to do a U test?
Yeah, of course.
No. Yeah.
Honorary.
So I think it's Signal Iduna Park. So that's where I would like to go, because I honestly think that the Tifos and everything they do are out of this world.
Yeah, see, there's some great, like, there's, I know a lot of people would say that they would like to go to Barcelona and, you know, Real Madrid Stadium and stuff like that, but it's never been that for me. It's never been, it's always been somewhere like, yeah, like Bayern's Allianz Arena or something like that, just to, yeah.
Love it. Well, hopefully, guys, one day we have the ability, the capacity, the money, the whatever, to actually do one of these tours together as a group would be out of this world. I tell you, if I ever won Lotto, I will promise you I'll make it happen for us.
Well, you know, I think I'm not going to go into next season. Just leave it as it is. I won't go into next season. I was just about to say something and I was just like, no.
Don't do it yet. I feel the vibe. Boys, anything final before we finish this podcast and get ready for a beautiful weekend of sport?
Yeah, just also, like, thanks to everybody who posted their questions. Really happy that you're listening and following us and taking part, which is really important for us. You know, we love answering your questions, or giving our perspective at least. I like that you guys are also communicating with us and giving your perspective. So keep that up, please. Share with your friends, give us a follow, send us messages. But thank you.
Yep, spot on. Spot on. And Rhino, final words from you, son.
Yeah, just looking forward to a big game this weekend and an early kickoff for us in Australia, 9:30 p.m. so we can actually watch it with a few beers at a decent time. So, yeah, I know we're all excited for that one. And for Spud, I think it'll be like 7:30. So he's got prime time in
now. He might not have prime time. He's got a missus who is sick and we wish her the very best.
Yes, no.
And they've got the youngins at home.
Young Ollie, who's been bringing us luck ever since he's been born.
That's very true. Yeah. No,
keep going, Ollie. Keep going. And his beautiful daughter as well. So we wish your family a healthy recovery this weekend, Spud.
Same from us, buddy.
Yeah, looking forward to having him back on.
Well, yeah, because we need his...
Well, thanks for joining us once again for the Up the Villa, the Aussie Villains podcast. We cannot wait to take on Newcastle, continue our push for Europe. We really appreciate your support. You can get us at Australian Fans of Villa on Twitter and also on Facebook in a Facebook group. And on Twitter, it's actually at Aussie Villains, capital A, capital V. And we just love the fact that you guys are giving us a listen and just part of the wonderful Claret and Blue Army. This is Up the Villa, the Aussie Villains podcast.